Thank you. It's an honor to be with you here tonight. A Gideon is a businessman or a professional man, and then our wives can be part of that ministry as well. But we serve as extended arm of churches in our communities and around the world. And today I want to take you back and forth across the world to show you what the Lord's been doing over the past years. It's a wonderful thing. First, I'll go to the country of Nepal in the Himalayas. And this is a report from a Gideon there. And he said, the plainclothes policeman knocked on my door. It was against the law in Nepal to witness about Jesus, and I had witnessed recently to him. He said, I opened the door, and I found the policeman was not there to arrest me, but to be led to faith in Jesus Christ. Turned out that man joined the Gideons as well. But we often see what the Lord does with one copy of his word. And many times we just hand out a small pocket testament. Ours in America here has the Psalms and Proverbs, as well as the New Testament in this copy. Now to the Philippines. Herberto Tica was serving as a Roman Catholic altar boy there in the Philippines, and he was given a pocket testament by the Gideons. He began to read it every day, and as a result, he was gloriously saved. He became a pastor. And years later, he prayed to the Lord that each of his five sons would become a pastor. And God's word tells us that he answers above and beyond what we ask or think. Yes, all five sons became pastors, and all 15 grandsons as well. And they've started over, it's either 300 or 500 churches in the Philippines. I just forget that statistic. But again, it all started with one copy of God's word. Thank the Lord. Now I'd like to go to Africa. We're going to zip around the world. Doreen, and this is the country of Zimbabwe. Doreen grew up in a non-Christian home, one of 10 children. And because of their poverty, she wore a patched uniform to school and had holes in her shoes. One day in high school, the Gideons visited, spoke about their ministry, and gave out the pocket testaments. Doreen took one. She said it was a special book, and she knew she felt the love of Christ even before she opened it. Well, as a result of that testimony, most of her family trusted in Christ as a result of that one testament. 20 years later, she still had it, treasured it, and even her children was reading it, but by then the first 15 chapters of Matthew were missing from the long use of that book. Then to the country of Zaire. This is an older testimony. But Botembo was a school teacher in Zaire. He then became a soldier and a military policeman. But Botembo said he was not a very nice person. As he would go to soccer games outside the stadium, he would bully people into giving watches, jewelry, anything valuable. Well, one day he met a young man who had nothing but a little book on him. Botembo hit him hard and beat him up. As the young man ran away bleeding badly, he said, may God bless you, may the Lord forgive you. And Botembo just laughed at him. Well, after the match, he went through his so-called earnings and found that the little book was a New Testament given to the young man by the Gideons. He began to read it, and he said he felt guilty for his evil life. The more he read it, the more it touched his life, and his family started to notice changes in his behavior. Well, Botembo became very sick, ended up in the hospital where he continued to read that word of God, knelt there in the hospital, gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, asked for forgiveness, and he said he felt the guilt lift as he received Christ. Well, Botembo left the ministry and he too became a pastor, and he said he would have wanted to find that young man, ask for his forgiveness, and thank him for his part in his salvation. Well, so far I've been around the world, but not here in the U.S. But right here in Center County, one of the things we do every year is distribute Bibles to Penn State. And this past fall, so far, we've given out just under 8,000 testaments to students and passers-by. And in a given year, we might be 7, 8, 10, almost 11,000, depending on the year. And we do receive testimonies as well. The first year we did this was 1972. The Gideons had not done it before then, but now we do it every year, not just here, but around the world. Well, Frank Cariola received a testament in 1972, And 10 years later, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And Frank's a Gideon down near Philadelphia. But I want to take you to Peru and share this report from a distribution there. Guillermo received a New Testament from the Gideons while he was a student at an engineering university. He read it and accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord. And after he graduated, he took a job at a small town in Peru. This town was known to be a stronghold of witches and warlocks. And he put a sign outside his home that said, "Engineer gives free Bible lessons." And for a very long time, no one came. We said one rainy evening, as he was bailing out the water coming into his home, he said an ugly dog ran into the open front door, grabbed that Bible in his mouth, and ran away with it. Well, Gilly chased after the Bible until the dog ran into the home of the known witch doctor, and he gave up the chase. 2 weeks later, there was a knock on his door. It was that witch doctor who said he wanted Bible lessons. And he said one rainy evening, an extremely filthy dog ran into his home carrying a little book. Well, he evidently turned to the back where the Psalms are, and he read in Psalm 115 about the sin of idolatry, told Gilly that he knew something important was missing in his life and wanted to know what it was he needed. Well, Gilly shared God's amazing love and forgiving grace and led Leonicio to the Lord. And Leonicio went home and led his whole family to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I mentioned earlier the Gideons are not pastors, we're professional people, business and professional men working within the church to reach a lot of places where the visible church is not seen. We're dedicated to saving the lost through personal witnessing and distribution of God's word. And around the world, as I said, we're in 200 nations, we live and serve in our local communities. So we already know the local languages, the local customs. We know the locations of the hotels and motels, schools, prisons, hospitals, and other places where we like to distribute God's word. And we're also able to establish Gideon ministry in countries where traditional churches and ministries are not allowed. I already mentioned Nepal. We're active in Vietnam, Laos, Kuwait, Pakistan, just to give a few. And again, I mentioned earlier, wives of Gideons can be members of our auxiliary. They pray for us. They distribute to nurses, women in rescue shelters, places like that, women in prison, and so forth. It's wonderful to have them serve along with us, and I'm glad to say that there's been times my wife and I can distribute together, such as at Penn State. Now let's go back outside of the U.S. to the country of Kazakhstan. A man there was a drug addict and a dealer in Chimkent, and he wanted to get rid of his drug addiction, but he said he couldn't do it by himself or even with the doctor's help. He received a New Testament from a Gideon one day and started to read it. And he too became a believer, and he says now that he shows his New Testament to all his former friends. He says it saved his soul and body. Now let's go to the Ukraine. There was a Gideon there in the Bendery camp who had traveled around the Soviet Union with the military, and he said he spent a lot of time with a high-ranking officer. Well, one day the officer took from his pocket a New Testament supplied by the Gideons, was covered with dried blood. And he explained the officer received the New Testament at a military distribution in the Ukraine prior to the civil war in Moldova. But the officer had been seriously wounded during the war, and the doctor who attended him indicated that the New Testament in his pocket had diverted the knife with which he was wounded, just enough so that it missed a major artery. And if it hadn't, the officer would have bled to death almost immediately. And the former officer carried that New Testament with him wherever he went. He did finally become a Christian and a member of a church, but he's thankful for the Testament and for the salvation of his soul and his very life. And then that reminded me, when the Bible truck was here, you saw the Bible that stopped the bullet. And I know of a story in Peru, a similar testimony where the Bible stopped a bullet from killing a man. So we praise the Lord for the ingenious ways he touches people with his word. Again, he does more than we ask or think. But I'd like to share some scripture from Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, where the Lord said, "For just as the rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth, making it germinate and sprout, providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do." And then the Apostle Paul in Colossians adds to this, Colossians chapter 1, the latter part of verse 5 and verse 6, where he says, "You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth." Now let's go to another country. Let's go to India. And quite a number of years ago now, a young man was born there into the highest caste. And he said as a youth, he got into trouble at home. He was just an average student. His grades were not good at all, and this made problems with his father. Life was very hard. He said he was a skeptic and became disillusioned with life. And after a young friend's death, he attempted suicide, ended up in the hospital. While he was there, of course, he was very weak, could not even sit up or read. So his mother began to read to him from a Bible placed there by a Gideon. And he said as a youth he had sought meaning in life, but had only found emptiness. But through his mother's reading of the word, he said he found the answer to the human condition. His heart had worked on his terms and not God. So there in the hospital bed at age 17, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to establish a good relationship with his family, and both parents came to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, he said he preached God's message all over India, later went to seminary. He's now a Christian apologist, explaining the message of Christ many times in very secular settings. He's been to Penn State at least twice. His name is Dr. Ravi Zacharias. Again, the power of the Word of God. Wonderful. Now, this next one starts in Pakistan, then goes to Indonesia. Mohan was an Indian born in Pakistan into a family of devout Hindus. He was diligent and disciplined in performing Hindu rituals. Well, he began working for Levi Strauss in Jakarta, Indonesia. And one day in another city, a dealer spoke to him about business matters and later about his faith. The dealer was a Christian, tried to talk to Mohan about Christ, but Mohan protested and said, "Well, wait a minute, Christianity is only about 2,000 years old. My religion is much older. How can you compare the two?" Santosa, the dealer, then asked him, "What is the name of your God?" Mohan replied that the Hindu gods had many names. Santosa then asked him, "What is the name of the one true God?" The next day, Mohan was yet in another city and checked into a hotel after work. And after dinner, he said he was gripped with fear for no apparent reason. Then his wife called with some bad news, and he became more fearful. As he lay down on the bed, he stretched out his hand, and it came down on a book. So he picked it up, and it said, "Holy Bible." He sat up and started flipping through the pages. And in our New Testament, we have helps in the front, and there's helps in the front of this. Many people around the world are totally biblically illiterate. Well, he saw John 14, 6, and he found it and read, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." Well, Mohan knelt by the bed and accepted Christ as his Savior. He said the fear was gone, replaced by an utter peace beyond his understanding. In the morning, he called Santosa, this other dealer, and said to him, "My God's name is Jesus." He said, "By his, God's grace, I was saved, and I know the Holy Bible, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can bring a man to Jesus Christ." Amen. He was right. When he returned home, initially, he didn't tell his wife about his conversion for about a week because he was afraid she'd think he was crazy. But now all the members of his family have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Mohan thanks the Gideons for their work because he said, "How could I have been saved if that Holy Bible was not in that hotel room?" He states that all glory, honor, and praise and thanks be to the Lord of Lords. Jesus is his name. And he's now a Gideon too and helps us help others. They don't all become pastors and Gideons, by the way. So we appreciate prayers from the churches. We try to get out in churches explaining what the ministry's doing. The prayers are so important to having this happen all around the world, all hours of the day and night, because 24/7 we're giving out Bibles, and we do so at the rate of about 2.5 per second. So that's approximately 90 million or so or more a year. And we do get financial support from churches, but that's not why we're here. We're here to praise the Lord. The whole Bible, hardcover, costs us $5. And these pocket testaments, the worldwide average, is about $1.25. Ours in America is a little more. But we're even printing some of those in communist China, by the way. And also in Nepal and other places. It's really neat to see what the Lord does there. But all funds raised go to the printing and that first initial shipment of the Bibles. Our members work at our own expense, and the Lord replaces and he repays us as we need. And our dues support the international ministry. So we're really pleased with that. We do have a way that people in churches can help us very easily to raise funds. If you use greeting cards, we have a display out on the table in the front, and we call these Gideon cards. This one is an in-memory card. We have them in recognition, thinking of you, and so forth. A thank you, Pastor, card. So that's a good one, and so forth and so on. In sympathy, and so forth. Thinking of you, thanking, a thank you, and so forth. So the card and the envelope are free. Now, if you go to a store, you'll buy these, but they're free here. And inside is a secondary envelope that you can mail a donation to the Gideon. So that's how it works. The cards are free. We encourage you to take some and have them at home, because when you need them, they're there. So thank you. And we're always looking for more members. We thank you, Eli, for joining with us, and Brother Dick Hall's here. But we had a dear brother from our church in Spring Mills who went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago, or 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago. And so we're looking forward to his replacement. This next lady, this is back in the U.S., and she says, I was on the FBI's most wanted list. That's the testimony of Mary K. Beard. She was a notorious safecracker and bank robber. She and her husband were hardened criminals. And finally, she was arrested and put in jail in Birmingham, Alabama. Well, in her jail cell, there was a Bible placed by the Gideons, but she just stuck it under her mattress, not wanting anything to do with it. But I think from hearing her, she said she was in solitary for 23.5 hours every day. So finally, she took that Bible out and started reading through it. And she read in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take that stony heart out of your flesh. Well, quietly on the floor of her cell, she knelt and gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. God had saved her. And Mary Kay said she noticed the problems of other prisoners, their loneliness, the separation from their families. And she was blessed that God used her, even as a prisoner, to start the Angel Tree ministry. And when I met her 4 years ago, she said that that ministry was now in 43 other countries, and it helped over 10 million children over those years. So we praise the Lord. And Mary Kay went home to be with the Lord this last year. But what a neat testimony. What a sweet lady. Now, Eli told me we have a lot of life books here, right, Eli? And the life book, what it is, it's a student format. Believe it or not, this is the Gospel of John in modern English. And it contains a short recap of the Old Testament. Again, even in America, in a lot of places, many, many people are totally ignorant of God's word. I have testimonies where people as adults have never seen a Bible, never been in a church. It also has scriptural answers to issues teens face and an opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So throughout the life book, if you've not seen it, there's marginal writings, one from an agnostic, another a strong believer, and so forth. But it points these teens to the scripture being talked about, and it is a very useful tool. So Brother Eli, do you want to say, or shall I? Get some and take them and give them away at Halloween? That, okay. Okay, one last testimony I'd like to share with you. Dan was in a large East Coast city, I don't know which one, on business. He said he spent the evening drinking. He went on a walk the next morning to clear his head and walk down a narrow residential street. Well, there's a man raking leaves, and he greeted Dan with, "Good morning, and it looks like the Lord has put together another beautiful day." The older man noticed Dan's demeanor and rumpled clothes and told him, "You know, Jesus Christ could make this the best day of your life," and he handed him a gospel tract. Well, Dan just tucked that tract in his pocket and went on his way. The man invited him to read it and revisit him. Well, about a year later, he was on another business trip, happened to reach into that pocket, found that tract, and he pulled it out and read it completely. When he returned to his hotel room, he opened the desk drawer and found the Bible placed there by the Gideons, and he checked every tract reference and read it completely. He then, after doing that and verifying the references, knelt and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Dan became a pastor, and he said he went to many cities and countries preaching the word. And as he repeatedly shared his testimony, he said he met many people who said they met the same man who handed them a gospel tract. So each story was different, yet people from all over the world found their way to this street and met this man working in his yard. Well, sometime later, Dan was again in that city, and he went looking for that man, found the house, and knocked on the door. He introduced himself to the bent man who shuffled to the door and then told him he had received a tract from him many years earlier and that because of his faithful witness, he was now a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This old man, who was walking with a walker, welcomed into his house and he said, "Praise God, praise God." He said through tears, "All these years, I wondered if I was making a difference." He explained that his deceased wife was an invalid for 18 years and he had to be at home. And the old man said that he prayed for the Lord to send him people who needed to hear the word. "What a blessing to know about you, son," he said. And Dan replied, "Oh, sir, I have heard about you all over the world." And he told the many people who had come to know the Lord through the witness of this silver-haired man. The man wept uncontrollably. "Thank you, Jesus," he kept repeating. "I never knew. I just wanted to be thankful to my Lord." And this is how it is when we witness. We don't always know what's going on, but God's word does not return void. I'd like to share two last verses with you. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote 2 Timothy 2:8-9. And he said this, "This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained." Thank you, Pastor. It's wonderful to be here with you tonight. And God's word is not chained. And now we'll have a time of prayer. So those who are led, please offer a prayer and praise to our Lord.